Father, just thank you for the word of the Lord to us. I pray, Father, that you help me to speak your word with boldness, Lord, and help me, Lord, to speak it as you would have me to. I ask you for the help of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Spirit of God, Lord, that I'll not just be up here saying words, but Father, that you will take this word and put it deep down in the hearts of men and women and young people, that we might truly be doers of your word and bring much fruit and honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Well, this morning we're going to go in a different direction. We've been talking about home improvement and how important our relationships are, our family is. And I just want to tell you straight up this morning that this morning we're going to be talking about something that's more important than family. Oh, I didn't get it. In the first service, I kind of got some gasps like, what? You know, I was expecting that again, but I know some of you were on the inside. You're like, what could be more important than family? And I realize this is rather simplistic. You know where I'm going, don't you? But we need to realize these things. We need to draw attention to these things sometimes. Listen, what's more important than family? The Lord? And when we get those priorities mixed up, when we become confused about that, and maybe we know in our head what's right, but when we get that mixed up in how we live, I'm going to tell you, family doesn't work so well. No, we got to remember to keep the main things the main things. And so this morning, we're going to talk about seeking the Lord. And I'm just going to tell you, as far as family, you get a family that's all seeking the Lord together, you're going to be all right. And it doesn't matter how many principles you learn about family and relationships. Listen, if God is not in the middle of it, if He's not really Lord over your family, you're still going to be a mess. I'm just telling you, sometimes we get so far afield from the things that are really critical and the things that are the most important. And so this morning, I just feel like that's what we need to do, is to get back on track and focus on this, that we seek the Lord. We're living in a generation where everybody is running to and fro all the time. Everybody has 1,000 things to do. We got too many things to do. And it's just this, well, they call it a rat race. And most of us are participants. What does that make us, church? But no, listen, we're not rats in a rat race. We are children of the King. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. And so I just want to say, we need to not be caught up in this rat race and realize how often, if we don't watch it, we end up acting just like the world, just running and striving and going and seeking after other things. Here in America, we just kind of think there's something wrong with somebody that's not caught up in the race. It's so much a part of our culture. But I want to encourage you to make the Lord, your pursuit of the Lord, your race, your endeavor. One businessman was walking along the beach and he came across a fisherman. Well, wasn't much of a fisherman. He was laying on the beach with a single line out in the water. Well, that American businessman, you know, it just kind of bugged him. And he told the man, he said, what are you doing with just one line out in the water? He says, you know what you ought to do is get some nets. Then you could catch a bunch of fish. You could develop a business. And the man said, well, why would I want to do that? He said, because then, you know, you get a bunch of nets, you could catch enough fish, you could buy you a boat. And he said, well, why would I want to do that? He says, because then if you really went at it with a boat and lots of nets, you could buy a whole fleet of boats and eventually you could have a whole business. He said, well, why would I want to do that? Well, you could get so many people working for you that eventually you wouldn't even have to work. You could just come out here on the beach and fish without a care in the world. And the man said, what do you think I'm doing right now? Now, I want you to understand, I'm not advocating laziness. The Bible makes it very clear that a man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. And certainly, listen, some people use faith as an excuse for laziness. And so I'm not advocating that at all. But church, how often we go to that extreme where we are striving and pushing and running after things. And the end result is not that we're more happy, but just that we're stressed and tired. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read some familiar verses 31 through 33. By the way, even the man laying on the beach with a single fishing line out in the water is pursuing something. We're all pursuing something. It may be laziness, but we're pursuing something. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?'" But let's not get caught up in the three things that he mentions here. It's not just about clothes and food, but it's about all of our needs. Not just material needs, but all of the things that we need in life. He says, "For after all these things, the Gentiles seek." Now, you know, a lot of times Jesus really goes after the religious people. But here in this verse, he is comparing those who worry to unbelievers. Here in this context, when he says Gentiles, he's talking about those that don't even know God. And he's telling us that we should not worry. Our Heavenly Father knows that we need. And if we run after those things, if we're worried about those things, we're acting like people that don't even know God. "For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, this passage is really interesting to me because Jesus is telling us not to worry because our Heavenly Father knows what our needs are. And I would expect the very next thing that He would say would be, "Don't worry, your Father knows what your needs are, but just trust Him." But that's not what He says. It's certainly implied when He says, "Your Father knows what you have need of." But I want you to remember this. He says, "Don't worry about these things. After all these things, the Gentiles, people that don't even know God, they're seeking after these things. Your Father knows you have need of them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And here's what I want you to see. You see, he's talking about people that don't know God are seeking after all these other things. And what's the end result of that? They are worried. They are full of stress and anxiety. Church, we're living in a time when worry and anxiety has become such a part of most people's lives. They are overtaken by it. We have an epidemic in our society where people have to have medication just to be able to function, just to be able to deal with the stress and anxiety in their life. And some of them aren't on medication, and we wish they were. I mean, you see them driving down the road, and they're just going berserko. Why do people act like that? Because they are so stressed out, and they can't deal with it. And here's the point I want to make to you. You see, if we are seeking after anything else, we will end up worried and stressed and anxious. In fact, here's how you can know if you're seeking after other things. Are you worried, stressed, anxious? Seek first the kingdom of God. And here, you know, the truth sets free. The Word of God will set you free if you get a hold of this truth this morning. You see, when you seek first the kingdom, He adds everything else. You don't have to worry about any of that other stuff. When you really and truly seek first the kingdom, the reign of God, when you truly seek Him as Lord in your life and His righteousness, that right standing with God, that you're not just running after the things of this world. You're not like everybody else. But as a believer, as a child of God, you know your Heavenly Father. He knows the things that you have need of. And He says He has promised. What a fantastic promise. All these things will be added to you. Could it really be that simple? Church, it is. We make it way too complicated a lot of the time. We need to realize how blessed we are as a child of God, that if we'll just seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, all this other stuff will be added to us. We don't have to run. We don't have to pursue and strive Oh, church, we need to make the Lord our pursuit. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. We might not be running after material things, pursuing financial gain. It may be some other desire that we are pursuing after. For some, it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife. For some, it's a job, a position, a career. All kinds of things that people pursue, a certain level of achievement or success, certain goals. And I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with pursuing those things when they are part of the plan and the will of God in your life. We certainly need to run with the vision. We certainly need to go after the things that God gives us to do. But here's the point. We have to keep our focus on the Lord and keep seeking Him. We don't seek just achievement. We don't seek just a position. No, we're seeking the Lord. All that other stuff will come together and fall in place when we seek the Lord. You see, even in religious circles and even in church, sometimes we get to the place where we are so focused on other things. I was talking about that at the end of worship this morning, where people get caught up in the trappings of church instead of keeping the main thing, and that is that we come to here to worship a living God. See, sometimes religious people are just as bad as the world about chasing after stuff. Some people run after certain preachers. That preacher's over here that they like, well, they got to run over there, they got to run over there, and they got to run. You need to be seeking the Lord. Some people, God, they have what the Bible calls itching ears. They're always seeking after the newest, latest doctrine, the newest, latest teaching, whatever it might be. They're always running after the new thing. Here in the Metroplex, I haven't heard much talk about it. I guess it's still the same old way. But I remember years ago, we used to talk about it a lot, how that in the Metroplex that it was like whichever church had the brightest light bulb at the moment, that, you know, it had a bunch of these cruise-o-matics. It'd be 200-300 people leave this church and run over here to this church. And then they'd be there for 6 months, 8 months, a year, and then they'd run over to this church. And then, I'm telling you, we need to be seeking the Lord. You know, Jesus talked about people in His day, religious people who would seek after a sign. And He didn't just say, hey, that's okay. He said a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. We need to be seeking the Lord Himself. Part of our American culture is that we are go-getters. And you know what? That's a good thing when you're going after God. But sometimes in church, I think we have almost gotten the message about us reaching our own success. Now, listen to me. I realize that I have taught and preached about how God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be able to achieve the vision, the goals that He has given you. But church, we need to be careful that our focus, that our desire, that what we're seeking after, it's not just our personal success, but that God is the one that we're really seeking after, not anything else. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, most of you are familiar with the name, and one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. Before the days of sound system and microphones, Charles Spurgeon was preaching sometimes to tens of thousands. Can you imagine? And thousands got saved under his ministry. He was the greatest preacher in Victorian England. And his writings are still published today and read by most preachers. Great man of God. When he was 18 years old and he wanted to be in ministry, he felt the need to go to theological school, and so, you know, he talked to his dad and the friends. They all recommended that he go to college, and so he made an application to Regent's Park College, and he got an interview with the head of the college. He was to meet him in Cambridge at a certain man's house, and so he goes to the house. He rings the doorbell, and a servant shows him to the parlor, and he sits in this parlor for a long, long time. Well, finally, after 2 hours had passed, he became so impatient that he goes to the door and the servant is there and he says, is the man not here that I'm supposed to meet? And she said, oh, I forgot to tell him you were here. And so what had happened was the other man also had grown impatient, but he had left, got on a train to London. Spurgeon was so upset, he was beside himself, and he had thoughts of running after the man and trying to catch him to explain what had happened. But instead, he went for a walk, and as he prayed, the Lord gave him a word. He said it was so real to him, it was almost like it was audible. It's Jeremiah 45 and 5. The Lord gave him this word, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." You probably won't hear that when preached in any success seminars. "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." And so Spurgeon decided that he would go back to where he was, that he would not pursue this any further. He wouldn't try to get in touch with the man and work it all out. But God directed his life in a better path. And in the providence of God, God raised him up as one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. He said this, he said, "A thousand times I thank the Lord heartily for the strange providence which forced his steps into another and far better path." You see, sometimes the things that we're striving for and the goals of success we want to achieve, and we're so disappointed when it doesn't happen, what we need to realize is that if we'll just seek the Lord, God will lead and guide our steps. He'll take us where we need to be. It is not dependent just upon our striving and our abilities and our strength or our wisdom and our personality, but we are trusting in a living God who is able to open doors that no man can close. You see, as we seek the Lord, go back to that, what we said earlier. You see, if we'll seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He'll take care of all these other things. And I'm just telling you that God can put you, He can place you, He can get you where you're supposed to be, but He needs to be the focus of our pursuit, of our passion, of our desires. Now, there's another story is strangely similar in that God gave this man the exact same word, but J. Oswald Sanders was a missionary statesman and a great Bible teacher, and at one point in his ministry, there was a position, a high position that opened up, and he desired that position. And he knew people in power. He knew people of influence, and he was very tempted to contact those people. And I want you to understand that sometimes, you know, God will direct you and tell you to call somebody. You know, God works through people many times, and certainly sometimes those things are of the Lord. But I also want you to understand, you see, that it is as we seek the Lord that He shows us what we should do. That we're not just seeking a position. We're not just seeking our success. Some people, when a great job is offered to them, they don't even need to pray about it. Come on now. How many of you would need to spend some serious time in prayer if somebody offers you a job making $5 million a year this morning? How many of you would pray about it? I want to see a few. Oh, good, a few of you would. I appreciate the honesty of the rest of you. Who needs to pray about that? That must be God's will. But you see, in reality, we need to have that heart and be in the place that our heart is turned to God, that we seek Him first. It's not just about money. It's not just about achievement. It's not just about whatever it is that we think would make us happy. But we truly are seeking God first in our life. So Oswald Sanders, J. Oswald Sanders, he refused that temptation to contact people, and he just trusted the Lord with it. Now, this story ends slightly different because a short time later, God, in His timing, put him in that position. but it was God and not just him running after it and accomplishing it by the means of man. I'm telling you, I want to say this again. When we run after things and we do it our way, we end up stressed, worn out, and worried. And when we seek God first, we can have peace. We can have real victory. We can, listen, this is when we're so different from the world that's around us, who are all running around and striving and stressed out. Church, it's when we really seek the Lord first in our life. If we don't pursue Him first, we'll find ourselves just running after our own agenda. You know, that's what seems to drive most people. It is their personal agenda. Everybody has an agenda. It's not really a new thing. Philippians 2:21, Paul said, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus." Wow. All seek their own. So many people just pursuing their own agenda instead of the cause of Christ. By the way, just as a side note here, you see, what's important to God needs to be important to us. Not our agenda, it's His agenda. We need to seek His kingdom, get our eyes on Him, not be preoccupied with the things of this world. Colossians 3:1-2, "If you then are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above." Seek the things which are above, where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You see, this is totally different from the way that most believers are living. That we're seeking the things above, not the things of earth. That our minds are on the things above. Our minds are on Christ, not on the things of this world. I've always heard this phrase, this statement. "Oh, well, they're too spiritual to be of any earthly value." I've never known anybody that was too spiritual to be of any earthly value. I've known a lot of people that were too earthly to be of any spiritual value. And I'm just telling you that we need to be heavenly minded. We need to have our hearts bent towards heaven, that we are always seeking Him, not running after the stuff of this world. I know that this message this morning is not exactly the normal seeker-friendly message that's preached in a lot of contemporary churches today, but I'm telling you, sometimes we need to come back to the things that are really most important. Not really, really important. How can I say that strong enough? Church, this is what we need, is to get back to the place where we seek Him first. All those other things. See, even in church, we come to church and we're looking to have our needs met. Listen, our Father knows everything that you need. Every need in your life, He knows. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, the Lord is the answer. Some are pleasure seekers. The Bible says in the last day that men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we certainly are living in that generation. We're here in America. Most everybody has a roof over their head and food and clothing. But so many are just looking for their next thrill, their next moment of pleasure. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, "In your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures evermore." Some are seeking happiness. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:20, "Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." Some are seeking to have some particular need met in their life. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory." Some are just seeking a better life, the good life. Jesus says in John 10:10, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Some are seeking satisfaction, fulfillment. There's an emptiness on the inside and they don't even know what they're looking for. They just know there's something missing. And Jesus says in John 7:37-38, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. I'm telling you that He knows what we have need of, and He is the answer. If we'll focus on Him and seek Him, He will meet all of our needs. I said at the beginning of this message, we need to keep the main thing, and I'm telling you, if you'll search the Scriptures, you'll find this all through the Bible. This is one of the major themes of the Bible, that we seek the Lord, that we go after God, that we pursue Him. And He brings this back over and over and over, that we get this principle that if we'll just seek God. Let me tell you what's wrong with our nation. It is that we're not seeking God enough. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll heal their land. It's what we need, church. We need to seek the Lord. He has the answers. Psalm 34:10 says, "They that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Do we believe that promise? What a fantastic promise. I am so simple, so shallow, I actually believe that. I believe the Word of God is true. I believe all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. I believe that those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, sometimes what we think is a good thing, God knows better. That's why we seek Him and not the thing. But those that seek Him shall not lack any good thing. You can't go wrong in seeking the Lord. He knows what you need, and He'll take care of everything that you need. Certainly, we need to pray to seek Him when we have needs. But we need to watch that our hearts don't begin to just run after what it is we think we need, and that our focus is truly on the Lord, that we trust Him. Ezra 8:22 says, "The hand of God is upon all them for good that seek Him." You know, whatever you're trying to accomplish in life, I want you to know that when the hand of God is on you, it's good. When the hand of God is on you, you're going to be successful. You're going to get it done. It's all going to work out. And who does that happen to? Those that seek the Lord. What a great promise. The hand of God is on me for good. Hebrews 11:6 is a verse we talk a lot about because it tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. But the rest of the verse is that because he that comes to God must believe that He is, not just believe that God is, but also that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Listen, you got to believe this. If you want to please God in your life and in your faith, you have to believe this, that God rewards those that diligently seek Him. Now get this truth. He rewards those that diligently seek Him. When you seek the Lord, when you make that your passion, that is your determination, you go after it with all that you are seeking the Lord. Listen, He rewards those who diligently seek Him. I don't know about you, but I've had it happen to me so many times when I've tried and tried and tried and struggled, done all I could do to get something done, and it didn't happen. Let me just give you a couple of examples. This building that we're building, it's happening. But I can assure you, I came to the place where I said, "Lord, this is not my building. If this building is going to happen, it's going to be your doing, because I can't do it." And I just had to come to that place where I said, "You know what? I can chase this building. I can run it. I can pursue it. I can do everything I know to do. It ain't going to happen." And I tell you, sometimes the Lord deals with us this way because, you see, if we managed to do it in our striving and efforts, then we would be lifted up in pride and it would destroy us. But when we come to that place of humility where we just seek God and we realize that there's nothing else we can do, Now, I realize some of you are going to have a hard time with what I'm going to say next, so I'm going to preface it just enter this subject this way. The only reason that we're not paying cash for this building is because some of you didn't hear from God and donate that $1.6 million. Because on my part, that is my first choice. I much prefer to do it that way. So if you have a hard time with us borrowing the money, I'm just saying. But just realize that if we're going to build this building now instead of 10 years from now, that we're going to need to borrow that money, unless one of you steps up real quickly, there's still time. And in borrowing that money, we're going to do it by faith. We're going to believe God that He's going to help us to pay that off in short order, that it's not going to be a bondage to us in any way, but we're going to pay that off quickly. But I just got to tell you that, you know, here we are, a fairly small church, growing, but a fairly small church, meeting in a shopping center. Who wants to loan us $1.6 million? And I tried, and I tried, and I gave up. Now, when I say I gave up, I'm saying I gave up on my efforts. And I finally just said, Lord, I can't do this. If this is going to happen, You're going to have to do it. And it is amazing how God does all things well. We just come to the place where we seek Him and trust Him instead of trying to do it all on our own, how God can take care of it. And by the way, we ended up with more than one wanting our business. But I'm just saying, in the midst of that, I had to get to the end of myself where I just said, God, I can't do this without Your help. And I want you to realize that whatever endeavors that you are involved in, maybe you want to go to a certain school, maybe you want a certain career, whatever it might be, I'm telling you, you need to trust God with that. You need to seek Him and allow Him to open the doors, allow Him to make the way. And again, I'm not talking about that you don't do what you're supposed to do, but it is a difference in priority. It is a difference in the passion of your heart that you're seeking God, not just seeking success or position in some way. Philippians 3:8, the Apostle Paul tells us, this is from the New International Version. He says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And you know, the Apostle Paul is probably the most driven man you could have ever known when it came to fulfilling the call of God on his life. He lived it until every moment of every day, he lived that calling, pursuing after the vision that God had given him to fulfill. But know this, that the desire, the greatest desire of his heart was to know Christ. The greatest passion in his life was to know his Lord. And we need to remember that. That no matter what other great things that we accomplish in life, there is no greater pursuit than this. The Lord Himself. A personal relationship with Him. And I want to encourage you. Draw back to that this morning. The Bible makes us this great promise in James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You see, He wants to be close to you. He wants to walk with you and talk with you, but He will not force His way into your life. You have to make that step. You have to open the door. You have to draw near to God. And He has promised to draw near to you. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. God will not share you. You can't halfway seek the Lord. You either seek Him or not. You seek Him with a whole heart or you won't find Him. I think there's a lot of believers who are seeking the Lord, sorta. But they're also seeking this and this and this. Oh, we have to seek Him with a whole heart. Be willing to lay it all at His feet, to trust Him with our lives, to truly let Him be Lord, to seek His kingdom in our life. Psalm 63:1, the psalmist says, O God, Thou art my God. Early I will seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I'm telling you, we need to have that kind of a passion for the Lord, that from the first thing in the morning when we get up, that we're seeking Him, that we are thirsty for Him, we desire Him, that we don't just go out and live like those who don't even know God, but we're seeking the Lord in our life daily, passionately. We seek Him in prayer. He's always there. Every time you pray, He's there. We seek Him in His Word. I'm telling you, He'll speak to you there in His Word. You'll find Him. We seek Him in worship as we did this morning. We come together in corporate worship, but also in your personal devotional time as you worship God. You seek Him in worship. You seek Him with all your heart. I want to close with these two verses. Hosea 10 and 12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." And I'm telling you that our hearts can become hardened. We can get to the place where we're no longer sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that does that to us is just life itself, the busyness of life, the cares of this life, and all the stuff of this world that goes on and happens. We need to break up that fallow ground, that hard ground, soften our hearts again, and really seek the Lord. Come back to what's really important. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Seek the Lord while He may be found. Can't you always find Him? You know, God deals with us at special times in special ways. And I believe that this message is for us today as a special time and in a special way that God is saying to us, "Seek me, seek me, seek me while He may be found." Don't pass off the opportunity. I want you to stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer partners, you go ahead and come. Father, I just thank You for each and every one that's here this morning. I thank You, Lord, that You have Your hand upon us this morning. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts and reveal to us, show us, Lord, where we have been putting other things ahead of You. Show us, Lord, where we need to make changes in our hearts and our lives. And Father, I just thank You for what You're doing in us, but Lord, what You're going to do through us. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This morning, as we stand before the Lord, I want you to know that He loves you, that He wants that closeness with you. That's what our Father desires. But church, we need to be willing to make Him first in our lives, to truly seek Him with a whole heart. And I just challenge you this morning. Some of you, you've just been so busy. Oh, realize. Realize how that has put you under a bondage. It's gotten you in that place where you're worried and stressed. You see, the Lord wants you to be free from those things. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And you think the world's going to fall apart if you don't do this and you don't take care of that and if you don't bear this load. And again, I'm not telling anybody that you don't have to fulfill your responsibilities. But what I'm telling you is that you just need to focus on this, that you seek the Lord and He'll give you everything you need to get it all done. It can all fall into place. It's amazing what happens when the hand of God is on you. Who's His hand on? Those who seek Him. I mean, when God is taking care of your needs, you don't have to struggle and strive. Who does He take care of their needs? Those that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Are you worried about all this stuff, all these things? Your Father knows you have need of. If you seek Him first, seek His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. I want you to get free this morning. And I want to tell you that freedom is in seeking the Lord. Some of you need to step out and come for prayer right now and just let God have His way in your heart. You've been running after other things. You've let other things captivate your heart. It's time for you to get back to that place where Jesus is your passion. Make Him truly first in your life.